That's great. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each and every heart be acceptable unto you, O God, our Creator and Redeemer. Amen. So about 100 years ago, when I was nearing the end of my last year of seminary, my time for transfer and settlement was fast approaching. I had, in a moment of great bravery, or perhaps it was lack of sanity, signed an actual piece of paper that said I'd gladly and joyfully go anywhere the church decided to send me. It was my calling, after all, to be obedient to God and the church. As I say this, I can hear Ray Griffin laughing all the way from heaven at the thought of me being obedient. But at that time in my life, I was fairly. I'm less so now, of course. Anyhow, when reflecting on where I would be sent, I remember reading, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is unworthy of me. Whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me." And for one reason or another, these words filled me with a sense of power and purpose. I was going to leave the safe shelter of my parents' home and reputations, go out on my own, and serve the Lord in Saskatchewan. So I held tight to those words of empowerment and looked toward settlement with hope and anticipation. I was going to be a disciple of Christ, and God help anyone who got in my way. Flash forward 18 years, and a deep sense of annoyance, quickly followed by doubt, washed over me when someone came up to me one afternoon about a year ago and said, "So, are you a disciple of Christ?" They were asking in the same tone as if to say, "So, are you from the planet Earth?" And a stuttering, "I think so," came out of my mouth. Last week, I shared with you how hard I find faith to be sometimes. This week, I intend to share how hard being a disciple can be. A quick side note on this, I am starting to get a bit worried about my sermon thread here, so if you're worried too, fear not, Reverend Tony is on deck next week, and I'm sure he'll be much more uplifting and optimistic. Let's go to church to feel better. Nora says, "Faith is hard." Discipleship is hard. Same one watching Netflix. That's easy. Anyhow, if being a disciple is a challenge, I suspect knowing if you're a disciple is a challenge too. It's something I think we all like to be, right? But what does it really mean to be Christ's follower? How much are we really going to have to do, never mind give up or leave behind, in order to heed his command, come and see? And then live up to the expectations put on us by the church, or the community, or God, whatever. And to preach on discipleship, well, it's almost as painful to do that as it is to preach about stewardship and money. It's kind of boring and makes everyone uncomfortable. But I truly want to stand before you and proclaim how great it is to work for God. I want to stand here and declare, do more, love more, give more, and in all that doing, loving, and giving, you will find the power and glory of God, I promise. I have found over these years, the more I give to God and in God's name, the more I get back in the long run. And I'm not just talking about tax receipts. My spirit feels better, my mind is more at ease, my heart less overloaded, it's easier to sleep when I am generous with my time, talent, and energy. At the same time, I don't want to put anyone off, overwhelm any of us with too many tasks or expectations, because I know firsthand how hard this call to discipleship is. I know how far we might get called to go. I know how much we might be asked to give when we hear that command to follow. We can talk about discipleship with our Sunday school kids, tell them how great it is when we're nice to each other, that beautiful image of a puzzle that Sam talked about, how we all fit in God's name. But the reality is that being a disciple of Christ, it takes a lot more than a Sunday school lesson to get it right. The people who have deliberately chosen the road of discipleship show us this truth. I think of a young woman I met in Nicaragua in 2005 when we were there with a youth group trip, who worked in a non-governmental organization where she ran a preschool. She got paid very little for her efforts, and every day she fought a system of oppression. When I met with her, she looked really tired. Like, really tired. But she was there because she couldn't go anywhere else. I think of a friend of mine who volunteers at inner city schools in Toronto, doing his very best to teach kids how to read and write when half of them are starving and the other half are high or in gangs. Every day he's frustrated by systemic racism, circumstances, poverty, addiction, bad choices, bad luck. But he keeps going every day, because he can't do anything else. I think of people in Consalver working with circles of support and accountability, a process where released offenders are offered companionship, support, and an opportunity to be held accountable for the way they choose to live within our community. A great deal of time and energy, not to mention faith and trust, is exerted by these people. And they do all they can to create healthy relationships, and they do it because they couldn't do anything else. To follow Christ is not something to be taken lightly. To be a disciple means we'll have to change, give up, sacrifice, be vulnerable. It means looking at the world in a different way. And yet we do our best, we do our very best to live up to this call, because as people of faith, we can't do anything else. I mean, I simply couldn't imagine living the alternative. Barbara Brown Taylor wrote in her book, Home by Another Way, I know that belonging to God is not a matter of going limp in God's arms. Oh, I love that. It's not a matter of just going limp in God's arms. We are called to love, to serve, to heal, to forgive. We are called to imitate Christ and make choices that resemble his. That WWJD thing that generally annoys me to no end, when it comes right down to it, is pretty much what we're called to figure out. As disciples of Christ, we're called to live out the gospel of Christ in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, as best we can. I'm sure of that. I suspect you're sure of it, too. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. You'd be home watching Netflix, because it's easier. The knowing, of course, doesn't make the doing easy. But it does make it intrinsic. It makes it something we have to do. The thing that keeps tugging at me in all of this, however, is something I don't think I've really given too much thought to before. Whenever I've discussed discipleship, it's always been about us as a community, right? Our actions. Every sermon I preach on discipleship always ends the same way, with a call. Be better, do more, love more, give more. Live out God's call as best as you can in the place you find yourself. God's role, beyond issuing the command to follow, to come and see, hardly has ever really entered the equation for me. But this week I read something that helped me look at discipleship from a slightly different angle. I read that discipleship isn't a story about us. It's a story about God. And about God's ability not only to call us, but to create us as people who are able to follow. Able to follow because we cannot take our eyes off that star. Because we cannot deafen our ears to the one who calls to us. Because he interests us more than anything else in our lives. Because God seems to know what it is we hunger for. And God seems to be the food. And I know that's true. Because I've tried not to listen. I've tried not to fall. I tried to go somewhere else. God's call is a funny thing. It doesn't stop. Barbara Brown Taylor wrote that when Jesus called the first 12 to follow him, it was no less of a miracle But they left their nets and went with him. Then when he raised Lazarus from the dead, or fed 5,000, or turned water into wine, my favorite miracle, it was as much a miracle that they went with him as anything else. When God calls to us, when the Spirit moves in our gut, you know that feeling, and empowers us to act out of love instead of fear, peace instead of violence, hope instead of despair, it is nothing less than a miracle because we simply couldn't do it on our own. I was told once that to be a disciple is to be a part of a miracle unfolding. I think that's true. Discipleship isn't about us making all the decisions and then sacrificing the things we feel able to sacrifice in order to live in a way we see as pleasing to God. It's about God calling to us and us being unable to do anything but follow. So in a way, discipleship kind of isn't a choice. It's something innate. It's a part of our very being, it's energy that drives us into action and energy we can't ignore. Isaiah declares that God calls to each and every one of us before we're born. While we are in our mother's wombs, God knows our names and chooses us as disciples. That means before we take our very first breath, God is our strength. Before we take our first step, God is our path. And before we do our first intentional act of discipleship, God is our guide. As we grow in our lives and in our faith, God is there sustaining us, calling to us, asking us to be disciples, and offering us the tools we need to live out that calling. It's not easy. But God announces, I will give you as a light to the nations that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. That is our calling, to be a light to a nation. As grand and overwhelming and as impossible as it may seem. I pray it may also be our passion that we be a part of the miracle of God. Amen. Let's say our music together.